With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. This is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion, and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. And then from there, there's green, which is very much valuing the heart, equality, pluralism, environmentalism, social justice warriors. Very much Gaia-centric, world-centric. That is the focus, that is the love, that is the heart. And we've only really experienced this as the world for 50 years, as a world, as a collective for 50 years. The next level is yellow. Now let the magic begin. Hello, hello, and Jai Ma Yomis. So, last week I asked many of you which topic you'd prefer to hear a little Q&A, keep it light, or dig deep, talk about an expansive topic on consciousness. And guess what you chose? The latter, which I don't blame you, because let's be honest, what our world needs more than anything right now is to wake TF up, which it seems like everyone is doing. Now, I'm not going to approach this topic that I had been studying for a long time now as though I know it all. In fact, the more we learn, the more we realize we have even more to learn and discover. And this is just another piece of your puzzle for you to potentially expand and understand more on not only your own psychology and wiring and where you might stand on a spectrum of consciousness, and also where other people you know, your friends and family, and where they are, and perhaps that might grant you more compassion or understanding as to where they might be coming from, because they might not fully understand yet, or their outlandishness, it might perhaps be true and you just haven't tuned in or tapped into that yet. This topic, I actually first heard about this when I was exploring the Canary Islands in September of 2018 and was listening to Jessa Lively's podcast, and something indeed reeled me in, and the seed was planted at that time to further explore this. But I definitely shifted directions for a bit and focused on other topics, and then recently came back to that as though this is something I'm supposed to water and nourish and understand more deeply, and also expand on this particular perspective from what I've learned and discovered and meditated on as well. And again, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And so a lot of this is indeed heavily guided and channeled. And it started with Claire Graves, a professor of developmental psychology. Today's episode is on a branch from Claire Graves' studies called Spiral Dynamics, which was developed by Don Beck and Christopher Cohen, well-recognized researchers. And their interest in this was to understand one's value system and their perception of the world so they could better understand the evolution of psychology and becoming more understanding of the world, understanding perspectives, understanding how we can help others, knowing their perspective and where they may sit. And I'm beyond fascinated by this because it very much aligns with Ra. I've talked about Ra before in another episode, which you can listen to, and I will leave a link to that in the show notes. But Ra's idea of the law of one, which we don't have to dive too into it, but Ra is not human, just a collective consciousness that is quite more expanded than humans, yet channeled information through humans. And that is something that some people are going to resonate with and some people are not, but it's so wild how the more you dive into all of these topics and the more you realize that there's so many layers to them, the more you also, well, me, start to become more interested and fascinated because you recognize so much truth in them. Because at first when I heard about spiral dynamics, when Jess Lively brought it up, I was kind of like, meh, okay, all right, cool. But then it did plant a seed and piqued my curiosity, so I dived a little deeper, and then I was like, this is actually pretty interesting. And then dived even deeper and I was like, whoa. Especially when you recognize the fact that there are so many layers to this. And in this episode, I'm only going to scratch the surface. So your very first reaction, who knows, it could be you deeply resonate with it, or you may just be like, doesn't add up. Society's way more complex than that. And that's the thing, it is. Yet, this in a sense, kind of like Ra's different densities. There's the first density, air, water, earth, fire. Your second density, where consciousness begins to bloom through plants and caveman to tribes. And then the third density, consciousness, when the ego kicks in and evolving from there. And now here we are in a world more fourth density, full of
people shifting those from third to fourth, social justice warriors, opening up people's hearts and minds to humanity, yada yada. And this is very similar, and seeing how parallel it is to that was my big aha. Wow, this deeply rings true. I think because it was studied by some humans, observed by humans, I dismissed it, to be honest, because people's perceptions can easily be skewed due to whatever their reality is, right? However, I do recognize that these are professional researchers that have a longevity study. They might not be 100% on it. In fact, they might have missed some pieces, but it does seem very cohesive and aligns a lot with other spiritual teachings from non-humans. So I'm excited to dive into this with you. And I'm sure there are other people that share it aside from Just Lively, and also actualize.org does as well. So spiral dynamics. So they do label different levels of consciousness as codes, from the beige code to the purple code, all the way to the turquoise code. And as your consciousness expands, you spiral up and up to a wider consciousness with a wider perspective, wider understanding of this universe. And so that's why at the tip of the spiral, visualize a spiral on paper, visualize the tip. It's very narrow-minded, very narrow perspective of the world. But as you expand up and up and up like a tornado, the top of the spiral widens and you have a greater understanding of this universe, of yourself, of others, of consciousness, of oneness, of God. And see, I say God, and there's a certain point, more so in the middle, where the word God does not resonate for some time. And that makes sense, because for a lot of us, as we've gone through our evolution, there might have been a period of time where God didn't resonate with you. I definitely denied God for a period of time where I was like, maybe I'm either agnostic or atheist, because I just don't see there being a man in the sky telling me whether or not I should go to heaven or hell. And then of course it expanded from that, opening it up to the universe, which then I dropped my attachment to the definition of God, and now I see God as all, as one, as love, as universe, and not just a man in the sky dictating my life. However, there is a level of consciousness that does see that, and that's part of their evolution. I just want to say this episode is sponsored by Hum Nutrition, who has been with us since day uno. Now, if you have not heard of Hum Nutrition, you must be living under a rock, I tell you, because Hum has changed the game when it comes to supplementing in a sustainable way. And they formulate with clinically proven ingredients that are clean and natural, triple tested for potency and purity, so you may receive the results you want. Plus, you get free nutrition advice by their certified registered dietitians, which you can take a 3-minute quiz and then receive your nutrition report. But you also can receive 20% off when you use the code MAGIC at checkout. So what I used in the past, which I actually no longer need to use anymore because I feel like my gut has healed tremendously, but I did at one point need to supplement to heal my gut. Well, at least supplementing helped aid the process along. Do I need to lecture this to you? Absolutely not. This is something you probably know. But the nutrients that I took, especially whenever I travel, when I could travel, would be the gut instinct. I would not go to Bali without that. Using those probiotics indeed helped me digest the food there, especially eating a lot of raw food, so much better. And then also the Flatter Me tablets, because there was a time when I had pretty severe IBS and I would try a lot of different formulas. I liked Stephen Cabral's, and I also would use Hums. Basically, that's about it. And eventually in time, with a lot of patience, my gut did end up healing. But again, we all have different journeys with our vessels. And some people, it's about clearing their skin, which also has a lot to do with the gut. Or perhaps the hair is very brittle and the nails are very brittle, the skin's very dry. Hum has a variety of different supplements to help you out, and they can ship all over the world. And I just can't emphasize enough how helpful their Gut Instinct and their Flatter Me tablets were to help you run smoothly if you are having problems with that. Hum is continuing to offer 20% off of your purchase when you use the promo code MAGIC at checkout. So go to humnutrition.com, select whatever you desire, and use the promo code MAGIC at checkout. Plus, they often have deals, and so MAGIC will work on top of that deal, which is pretty awesome. Wherever you're at in the world, I highly, highly recommend, if you want some high quality, potent, and mostly vegan supplements, to check out humnutrition.com. All right, so back to this. Let's start with stage one, shall we? Which, you know, we're not going to tackle that deeply. Why? It's pretty simple. I guarantee if you're listening to this, you're expanded a bit beyond that. Unless you're a baby, which is basically, we've all experienced this stage, because at one point we were infants and all we cared about was feeling safe and getting food in our stomachs and not feeling any pain. And that's basically all that stage one beige focuses on. So you'll notice a pattern. So as you focus on that, you're clearly just focused on self versus others. And through the spiral dynamics, you'll see a pattern of expressing self to denying self and focusing on the collective, then again focusing on self, and then again focusing on collective, and back and forth. Still, even as you focus back on self, it's still more expanded than that version of focusing on the collective, and you will see why. But here, the stage one, getting to understand our basic primal needs, because that is all that matters. So we operate purely on instinct and intuition while relying on others to function. Yet we're not aware of this instinct or intuition. We just are. We're just being. We're just here without any preconceived notions, any stigmas or rhetorics penetrated into our mind, where our mind has not been gathering information on how to perceive the world, their idea of this world. Nothing is colored for us. All we notice truly is, am I hungry? Am I in pain? Do I feel safe? And that's it. It is possible to regress to this space in some way due to trauma or age or illness, as in mental illness, or even physical illness, becoming a vegetable. And at that point, this is my own spiritual take on that. If we do regress to the space, it's because something happened, so our soul left this body, but this physical body is still active for whatever reason. But at that space, one will need to have help in order to continue to be a living consciousness vessel at stage one beige consciousness. So again, all that matters is self. Whatever your vessel is experiencing, that is all you're aware of, purely. Yet of course, as we expand, our consciousness expands and evolves, and we begin to recognize the importance of others. We've been depending on these others and ultimately our community. So that comes before everything else. And this is when we expand to stage two consciousness, which is purple, also referred to as magenta. But purple in spiral dynamics, and their perspective of the world is so enchanted, so mystical, which is interesting. Remember being a toddler and just feeling more, the world looked more enchanting, felt more mystical. We were still tuned into that more. So perhaps our consciousness, our understanding of the world itself was still not quite expanded. We still had this connection to mysticism in some way. But where our awareness really was we craved the sense of belonging in a community, in a tribe. And there are still human beings on this earth who just stay at this purple stage, which you may find in tribal regions. So people that aren't really exposed to the outside world, they just stay in their tribe, and that is their world. They kind of see the world in one color, which is them. And they stay with their tribe as their desire to belong is not only deep, but it's pretty much all they know. It truly is their livelihood. And the human instincts kick in to protect their tribe. They're aware that there are other tribes that might come and hunt them down and take their women, take their babies, or take over their land, harm their tribe, and that's not okay. So they do work to make sure their tribe is all that matters and to keep that all around and alive and well, perhaps creating different tools so that they can protect themselves, but focusing on the collective and belonging. And apparently we've had this ingrained in us for over 50,000 years. So we still have this seed of belonging, and like we still have our primal basic needs that we need to have met. So as we expand, there are still pieces of us that we can see that we have had with them. Part of oneness and waking up to oneness is being able to look at the others and understanding their perspective, but from a non-judgmental place. And the further you are from that space, it's easy to not judge. Like, do you really judge tribes or whatever they're doing? I know there's cannibals out there, but you understand they don't know any better. It's disgusting, but you understand they truly don't know any better. Or a baby, wherever a baby's at, if a baby cries, are you really judging the baby? Sure, it could be annoying or inconvenient, but are you judging the baby? No, because you understand, because you've been there and you understand that need, that desire. Obviously, you don't understand the need for cannibalism, hopefully, but you understand that need for belonging and tribe and staying with the tribe, and that's all they know. Because that when we were toddlers, that's pretty much all we knew. But we did still see this world in a more mystical way. We did probably create little rituals to connect with nature. I know I did, and I've had guests on here talk about that as well. And we had not yet fully been tainted with the wild storm of the world. But then from this, we begin to understand more of a sense of self. We always had a sense of self because we're tapped into that beige side, that need for the basic needs, hunger, yada yada. But now we're starting to see our individual self wanting more. And this is when we expand into the next level. And for many, this might be the terrible tools Tuesday, say, and it can be super short or last a while. And it happens though. And that's why we understand this perspective. We've definitely had past lives fully living in this space. So from this, we expand to red. This can be a super quick stage. All that makes sense is everything that you need. Nobody else really matters. And you may be led fiercely with your mind. So this expansion of the ego happened over 15,000 years ago. And which, how do they get these dates? I don't know, but apparently. So when people began to develop a heightened sense of self and created more war, they had this inflated ego and began to focus more on their individual self for their pleasures and desires to make sure those are met. And they're often, especially today, even in Western society, there's many. Now they're often met with narcissism or powerful people that want dictatorship. And their goal is truly, because all that matters to them is that their agenda wins, have it their way or no way at all. They demand, not even hope for the possibility of deserving or gaining respect, but they just simply believe because they exist, they demand the respect. This is the peak of red. So you'll see as we evolve, just like densities in the law of one, where there's lower third density consciousness and there's a higher third density consciousness, there's people in between all over the place, and there's so many layers to it. This as well, there's the very stereotypical, however, people can be leaning more towards purple red or red blue, which will be the next one, or just really deeply in the middle, or red blue orange. We often are a mix of 2 to 3, but there are people that might be fully one. And so the very stereotypical, which is what I'm going to talk about, not the bleeding towards either end of the spectrum of red, but just the stereotypical red, would be someone who is a narcissist, craves powerful leadership, demands respect, does not care to be a part of a tribe, just cares to be on a pedestal, and the ego is very inflated. In this stage, there's a lack of guilt, and our egocentric sense of self is basically what keeps us alive and drives our motives. They happen to like to instill fear instead of love, get people worked up, and make people spiteful and hateful of others versus spreading love. They just, they don't spread love. They definitely spread fear. That's what they focus on. And if they do spread love, it's likely for an act to please themselves, because that gives them more control. Yet they still like to believe that they're the saver, the great protector, the martyr of these people that they dictate, because they just love to feel worshipped and as if they've got a God complex. They've got a God complex. So one thing to note, and you may also see a pattern in it, is that there apparently is just great disdain and disregard toward a certain stage, because it doesn't sit well, especially if you're looking at a lower stage. They may trigger a piece of you that you feel you've probably expanded from, but it's still a reflection because that's still a piece of you. Or their lack of expansion in some way, simply just a reflection of your consciousness that you want to distance yourself from. And so that desire for distance creates resistance and creates disgust for that one person versus just accepting it. And then let's say you're looking at someone that perhaps they're expanded a bit more, then you may be just resisting and judging, subconsciously feeling a little bit inferior and just a resistance because it's something that you have yet to expand into or in the process of expanding into, which we'll witness in later stages and I'll point it out later. With every stage, by the way, with every code, I could probably talk about each one for 24 hours worth. I mean, it's so deeply layered, but this is truly, again, just a synopsis, the basis, and I'm already going deeper than I had expected. I don't think it's fair for me to point out people, but also I will point out groups that apparently are red. So the mob, not gangsters that do this for their, do whatever they're doing because they felt this need for belonging or they were forced into it, but true gangsters that just want power. And honestly, there are a lot of people in higher power that are definitely red. They might not be fully red, because they have to understand other people's consciousness in order to even be liked and desired. But a lot of their motivation comes from that red space. Red is definitely very triggering, even though it's not bad, which is wild, but it's not bad as it's actually necessary for the expansion of our consciousness, of Earth's awareness, because every single person, especially those in power, wake up and shift and evolve consciousness in such a profound way that they're almost necessary, even though it might feel disgusting and you really can't stand the toxicity of it. But eventually, whether they do in this life or the next, I would say, because I'm sure that the red is just a younger soul, but will be living another experience and expanding beyond that. But even in this life, so in this life, let's say they evolve from that redness, which that's really not easy to do, by the way, they shift back into collective thinking. And because there's a seed of emptiness, a place of emptiness in their heart, when they're so self-focused, they might even just feel some guilt from past actions. And so they might seek something for forgiveness, which actually this is probably very common, but they might seek religion or something and become part of a group. And now that leads us to the next stage or the next code, which is blue. And people begin to, again, they enjoy their individualism, but they want a sense of belonging to a team and or a group of friends, a sports team, a church, a community. They want a sense of feeling accepted because they deeply can't accept the past things that they've done. And so they want others to accept them. That's the lower end of it. So blue, the world is black and white. Their surroundings are a group of like-minded individuals that agree that this is the perspective, this is how it is, and nothing else is true or right. This is the truth. This is how the world works. Blue people, they seek security in having a community, and especially those that are bound by rules and regulations. That just brings them more comfort and understanding. It's how they can make sense of the world, is having these rules, these regulations, these commandments. And this is how it is. It's black or white. And of course, some people still stick in the red and they'll still do things that make them feel guilty. And so they crave that community for the forgiveness. Or they have transcended from the red, but they're feeling so good and so deeply, deeply involved in their lightness in this black and white perspective. And they're really triggered by anybody who sees beyond black and white. They hear of other different colors and perspectives, but they truly believe, which I can understand, because I remember in my early years of being a Mormon little girl, I just do remember truly believing that this was it. This was the church. This is truth. And it wasn't until I was 12 that I saw beyond that. I was like, maybe it's not. But actually, I think I was 11. Yeah, I was 11 when I saw that. And then I left when I was 12. There's no judgment with people that are in the space, because that's truly wherever their consciousness is. There's a lot of people in Middle America today that are still so deeply in the space that they don't understand the movements of today and how we need to make a shift and change for people, so it keeps other people in a place of oppression. But this is something that they genuinely do not see, because they think all is well in their black and white state. We used to be heavily in blue. We've shifted beyond that, but there are a lot of people that are still heavily in blue, and indeed younger souls, very conservative, not Republican. Republican, I think, is the next stage, but very conservative. And I'm not talking just politics, just very traditional. And they subconsciously like to be told what to believe versus having a mind of their own. So they really do not question who they trust, unless perhaps their leader or someone of authority begins to question someone else, then they'll just believe their leader, because that brings them comfort. That's truly their perspective. It brings them comfort. They understand their visual individual self. They have a perspective of their ego. They have desires, of course, and things that excite them, but they really don't want to go outside the bounds of what their community believes, because they believe that they were born into the right one or found the right one. And so we got to question ourselves too, though. Like, are we in that, you know, even from our spiritual space, that seems like, all right, this is true. You got to question, like, oh, maybe there is, I always question, maybe there is more to it than this, which even with this spiral dynamics, there's more to spiral dynamics than spiral dynamics can even share. However, it's nice to have a greater understanding and then be able to branch from that. Also, blue, they like to choose their leaders based on who is either next in line in the family, so keeping it in the family, and or other hierarchical choosing, society's way of choosing, or from their church's choosing. And they're afraid of other perspectives outside of that, where they'll judge it in a very harsh way. And because it's scary to them, they live in a very constant state of fear, even fear of their own God or gods or truth. They want to just make sure to follow the rules, and then they're good. This episode is brought to you by one of our very first sponsors, Hum, who I am so grateful for. And I'm grateful for the fact that they gift the Yomis 20% off when you use the promo code MAGIC. But let me tell you about Hum Nutrition if you are unaware. Well, I, for one, am a testimony to the fact that Hum's gut instinct is extremely healing for the gut. It contains 10 strain probiotics, 25 billion organisms, and 30 vegan capsules for a 30-day supply. I've talked about gut instinct time and time again on the podcast, and I can't emphasize it enough how helpful it is. And I haven't had to take it actually in a while, which is amazing. So I highly recommend for anybody that might be struggling with their gut health at this time to just try out Hum's gut instinct. But there are so many other types of supplements that Hum helps people's vessels out with. My mom always takes their age-defying skin cell protection supplement, which contains turmeric, phytoponyphenols for antioxidants, and polypodium leucotomose. I probably, again, pronounced that incorrectly, but you know what? All I know is that it acts as a UV guard. So I've taken that as well, especially when I go to extremely sunny places. And it's just a nice thing to know that I am taking care of this vessel in many ways. So again, their supplements have been meticulously selected to balance tummy issues, skin, nails, boost your metabolism, boost your energy, have deeper sleep, or other nutritional deficiencies with giving your body, your vessel, the highest quality ingredients. They are gluten-free, non-GMO products, and most of them are vegan. And so for the Yomis, you may receive your free nutrition report from one of their nutritionists to find the right hum supplement for your needs. So go to humnutrition.com and enter the promo code MAGIC for 20% off. Again, that's humnutrition.com, promo code MAGIC. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe that promo code works even on top of other discounts that they might potentially have. Sometimes they have buy three, get one free, buy two, get one free, whatever. And I believe the code MAGIC will still apply. So that's just something to keep in mind. Anyways, enjoy the rest of the episode. People with communities love rituals. The tribes did. They had their very mystical nature rituals that all even practice today because they're so connected with nature. But then, of course, religious people love to have their dogma and rituals to make sense of this world and to dance with it in their own way, which is a beautiful thing. It can get pretty culty and scary, but it is a beautiful thing. Oh, that reminds me. Culty. Red. KKK. That is like the epitome of red. Right there. But then they probably have some blue because of how they interpret the Bible together or something like that. So obviously, if it wasn't clear enough, the blue stage, Christians, Muslims, even honestly, Eastern religions that are like, all right, you have to do A, B, and C in order to achieve A, B, and C by using these mantras, A, B, and C. That's the only way for you to understand A, B, and C, to not live a life of A, B, and C, but to live a life of A, B, and C, if that made sense. Not Buddha himself. There are sectors. That's why there are different branches of Buddhism and Hinduism, because there are some that are like, all right, do A, B, and C, and then you'll become enlightened and you will not have bad karma. But then there are those that understand a greater range of perspectives, but they all come from a place of love. Like, that's their ultimate underlying thing is, yes, there's fear because you have to live a certain way, but it's really, you must love your neighbor. And that doesn't fully sink in until later. And then when loving your neighbor fully sinks in, you begin to understand, oh, well, I'm going to love this person that has a different perspective. Oh, that's interesting. Their perspective is a little different. Oh, let's listen to this perspective. Oh, there's truth to this perspective. Then you realize perhaps that black and white world is not 100% true. And back to this individualistic rediscovering of self. The next stage, which is orange, is not so much an egocentric stage. It is a little bit because it is heavily focused on materialism and proving yourself, but it's not narcissistic because you do still care. You have those values from blue of loving that neighbor, so you do still care about others, yet you might not believe in the same things that blue does. In fact, you might even be atheist or agnostic, and atheists basically live in this stage because this stage also really loves science. And so a lot of people listening to this now have a lot of orange in them. I know I have a lot of orange in myself. No longer seeing the world as black and white, but more open to more colors, more ideals, heavily focused on competing with society. And there's a big emphasis on science in this stage, like I said. They love some sort of proof. They love structure. They love whatever is physical that they can understand, rationalize, bring logic to on a very conscious level. And they're super open to creation and self-expression. And most of media today is very heavily orange, also bleeds into green, but we'll talk about that. So they might believe in something, a higher power, even at this orange stage, but they honestly are heavily focused on manifestation. Even like law of attraction is very orange because it's focused on self and personal development of self. Whatever can expand the self, that is orange. This podcast has a lot of orange in it, indeed. And there's a lot of beauty to orange because it truly, orange gives you the tools to have more of what society's ideals of success are. And in orange, one may be heavily focused on comparing themselves as well to others and only striving for the ideal look, their purpose, making sure that they're winning. And they probably may not be aware or recognize that it truly is just a societal construct of what society believes success is, but they might. And, you know, they might deeply care about fame and fortune. And if not fame and fortune, then bringing something new to the world that they did, even if it is just simply stepping out of the black and white and bringing their own color to the world in some way. They can be very opinionated. Many that are deeply in orange very much dislike those that are in blue, and they can see someone who's in red from a mile away and not like them. That's why, so I was talking about how if you look at US politics, I see conservatives as blue. That I see, and I'm not Republican by any means, or conservative, obviously, or Democrat, to be honest, but you can see Republicans and Democrats, for many reasons, they're very orange, because they have stepped outside of the boundaries of what traditional society had said. However, they are competing and still completely, deeply believe in their values here, and they'll fight for those. But I would say Republican has a little bit more of blue in it, and then Democrat has a little more green in it, which is the next stage, and we'll talk about that. And of course, some people might be arguing with me about that, and that is fine, because guess what? I'm not the know-all, be-all, tell-all. Like, this is just me relaying this information to you, and so I'm fine with that. But indeed, orange is a necessary stage to just understand differences in this world and have compassion for differences in this world, yet also have your own individual unique voice heard, really, to expand in business. This is a very necessary stage, because this is the stage of self-improvement, business improvement, think and grow rich type attitude, but also creating systems. People in this stage, they love morning routines, fitness routines. What does your fitness routine look like? I was heavily in that stage for a period of time. The next stage has trouble with that structure. So there will be a time when orange stops thinking so much from the mind and having to have all this proof, and begins opening up the heart and the soul and understanding and caring more about that deep connection. So, of course, there's a blend between orange and green, which I believe society is at now, but I'm just going to talk about the epitome of green, the absolute epitome, which if you categorize it, you can think of it as hippie or hippy dippy. Basically, at some point, one recognizes that all this materialistic ideals and success are not the most important thing in the world, and they transcend from that. And again, they might blend together, and it's a very gradual progression. And this is what most people are experiencing now. When you get to the deepest green, there is more to life than our own self-interest and even human selves as a collective. That honestly, we want to just share resources of Mama Earth while keeping not only ourselves, but also each other healthy and Mama Earth healthy. And the way that we live our life is simply no longer influenced by one person or an overarching authority. No one dominates us. We truly are these free spirits, and we're not as influenced by what we need to prove to others in society. However, there is a collective groupthink in this still, in green, because we still have not transcended to the second tier, still in the first tier, but the top of the first tier. And this, I would say, is very fourth density positive energy, if we're talking law of one, even high four density positive energy, because it is all about the heart, all about love. But the one thing it's hard for them to really, like if you're talking the deepest of green, which I have definitely experienced and I'm actually still very much experiencing, it's hard to create structure because you love flow so much in life, and it's hard to actually run a business for these people. And I'm saying this because this is something I can relate to, because we're so moving with our emotions and our heart and whatever nature brings. We can be very triggering to orange as well, because we can come off as hippy dippy, not all there, space cadet, because they have not yet open that part of their heart. But then of course those have opened their heart that still have structure likely still have a lot of orange in them, which is great. And that is very ideal in many cases. Too many people, but that's also just a perspective, right? But in this heart space, we have a deep intuition, a very strong intuition. And we do not live from a place of fear. We recognize our fears and we can transcend those pretty quickly into love in some way and compassion and understanding. Yet there's such a strong rejection of dogma and of, honestly, the Matrix. And they'll say that a lot, like, don't listen to the Matrix, don't listen to the Matrix. Many, if we're grouping them, many groups that are green would be like hippies, vegans, anyone who's focused on saving the earth or sustainable resources, people who are for political correctedness and inclusion, spiritualists, and simply people just exploring the deep connection with the universe on another level. And so people at this stage are more open to many ideas as they're feeling very expanded and feeling so much love, 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 love. This is, you know, the heart chakra is green. And this is where our heart chakra lies. This is the space of where we're living from, is from our hearts. And we really see and feel this desire to make sure we keep not only ourselves healthy, but also each other healthy and Mama Earth healthy. She becomes a focus. Whereas orange, Mama Earth, meh, they would rather perhaps import and export more and use oil for money and yada yada because it's very materialistic. But then when you tap into green, you really care about sustainability. You become more open to other ideas that aren't part of the mainstream ideals. And so Yom was definitely very much based on the green perspective. Yet, of course, some orange. Because I remember when I started Euro Magic, I would talk about my morning routine and my meditations and the way I'd meditate. And I had pretty much a structure to my day in some way. But then something happened and I just naturally flowed into not wanting a strict routine and just going with it. Yes, there are things that I just naturally do as a creature of habit, but when I do rituals, it's very much with intention, but not an everyday thing. And I'll go with the flow and how I'm feeling. But those in the stage are very open to looking back at the older traditions that connect with nature. And there's a lot of respect for the tribal community. Yet greens can get very triggered by orange and by blue and red and honestly even yellow, because it does step outside of these ideas of pure love and light and heart, because we almost want to just be blinded by peace and just see the world in that way. And that is just the epitome. That's not everybody, obviously, but indeed many people that are green, they do have this collective group thing of the way we should still live life. There is a should in there versus like a, it just is. There's still shoulds. You should not eat meat. You should meditate every day. You should do this. You should do that. Because we are opening up to that. That does help us open. It's very necessary for our expansion. The majority of me is green. And I know this because I seem like I'm batshit crazy to the rest of the world. I'm just kidding. But they're very progressive. Old souls, especially when they're green at a young age, they're a very old soul. And it's really exciting to see the world evolve into that. And there's so much here that I could continue to talk about with green. I could go on and on and on. And if you ever want me to, I'm more than happy to. But for now, I'm going to continue on and talk about the expansion from green to yellow, which is pretty fuzzy for me, honestly, because I understand that a lot of people that are orange might relate to yellow. However, they skipped green and you can't skip. This is part of the expansion. Apparently, according to Spiral Dynamics, no one skips something because they have to integrate whatever it was before in order to expand to this level. And yellow integrates green and orange. And so we know very few yellows in this world, but this is second tier level of consciousness. And it's back to self, but in a different way. But it does seem that back in 2012, especially when, you know, 2012 was when Mama Gaia shifted into fourth density consciousness, apparently, according to Ra, which I talked about in the Law of One episode. Link is in the show notes. But more people in first world cultures are a mix of orange and green. But yellow, again, integrates. So they are, let's say they do are creating a business, for example. They've got their structures and those ideals from orange, and they integrate yet with the heart of green, where they want something more sustainable because they do deeply care about Mama Earth, yada yada. However, they might have branched out from the certain group think that green might see. I genuinely, like I said, this one's very fuzzy for me, but from my understanding of what I do understand about yellow is that they very much recognize, like, okay, I can't just love and not do anything and take action on this stuff in order to make a change. There's got to be change in the world, and yellow is indeed out to make sure that there is change. But they might not have that same motivation like orange does, or green, like orange does with material stuff, or green does with human rights and animal rights. One example of this I would honestly say could potentially be, and I'm not certain, but potentially be someone like Elon Musk, because they integrate the science, think of ways in order for us to better this world, keep this world safe. And so he created a business that happens to run on energy versus gas and destroying the planet. If you look up Evan Pagan as well, he's very yellow. And they do like to create systems, though. I would also say people on this podcast that seem pretty yellow. Lacey Phillips, she's created systems to expand people from green and orange, whether she recognizes it or not. And Brie, I would say, is pretty yellow. I think actually Byron Katie, but I think she might even be turquoise, which we'll talk about. But yellow is a very fuzzy one for me, but it's a very interesting one, the yellow code. Because they do bring the grounded structure of orange and integrate it with the open heart of green. And they do care about doing something to shift society. And that doesn't mean they have their own system even. They can be part of a system, but they just have another grander perspective of this world and understand that there's truth to all perspectives. In fact, they can easily see and sit in a state of neutrality with all perspectives without attachment. And might even expand from that perspective or just see what truly is best for the planet. Absorb all the information, decide purely what makes sense for them based on spirituality and society's structural culture. They're also very individual because, and this is the epitome of yellow. See, I know I have some yellow in me and you probably do too, yet I know I have so much green in me that I'm not fully yellow yet, but I'm talking about the epitome of yellow. Just they don't care about fame and attention and social following, which I think actually every guest I've had on the podcast does, except for maybe Byron Katie and Teal Swan. Teal Swan, oh my gosh, she is like the epitome of yellow, I would say, because she can really see, has an exceptional way of understanding and seeing things as they are. She's exceptionally perceptive. And it's not something that people can just try to emulate what they believe yellow is and then be that. Like, one naturally does, their consciousness naturally evolves to this space. And again, a lot of oranges might think they're yellow because they're like, well, I have this expanded heart and I know I'm expanded consciousness and understand all these perspectives and yada yada. So I clearly am yellow and green, but there's probably seeds of you opening up to that as you're recognizing you can integrate the green and the orange. But if there are still underlying fears, it's probably not quite there yet, which is fine. It takes time. It's part of this evolutionary process. And also depends on your soul's evolution. Old souls are likely to be yellow in this life or the next. And by the way, the researchers never said this. This is something that is just obvious to take from when it comes to looking at the Law of One, young and old souls, and spiral dynamics. All of this bleeds in together. But of course, yellows, they do have their triggers and they do have a sense of identity. In fact, they're also not going to sacrifice their own self for others, for the collective, like Greenwood. And so some people might not really vibe with yellow, but yellow doesn't really put themselves out there that much. So it's hard to really understand who a yellow is or groups of yellow, because there aren't many groups of yellows because they're so individualistic. And this is part of the second tier of consciousness, whereas green and everything below was simply first. So the second tier is also known as the being tier, so very much existential. There is actually levels beyond that, no matter what, especially when you get to yellow. If you are in yellow, if you do sit in yellow, this probably resonates. Green and below, it probably resonates in green as well, but anything below, it might not. It might not. But yellow, this definitely resonates because you see truth in everything. And also you've experienced a lot of this and you can see the evolution from your own personal experience. And yellows as well, they naturally manifest very fast because of where they're at, because they don't have that attachment. They just naturally know. They're very much more with the flow. They have their structure perhaps for their businesses or other things. However, they're very much flexible and very much go with the flow. They really can deeply detach to certain things. They have a holistic perspective, so they can understand everyone's perspective. They don't really get so triggered. For example, they wouldn't really get triggered by green, where they would harshly judge green for being so woo-woo, so out there, whereas orange does. They just understand that that is where greens are at, and that is fine, because they were likely just part of that world as well. But they deeply recognize with every fiber of their being the unity of existence, and they love to interact with the environment with that awareness in mind. But they definitely love to look at their world, both from an interior world and an exterior world, so their mental, emotional, physical, social, and spiritual perspective. Now, the next level is turquoise, which I definitely won't be able to tackle too much. In fact, I don't even think spiral dynamics people understood it too well either, because it's very, very, very few people live in this space. However, in yellow, one is probably putting their human self, their human survival first, still focus so deeply on the individual, but then learn about what lies beyond the physical, quantum reality, spirituality, and pure wholeness. So like Joe Dispenza is yellow, like as yellow as it gets, and he is transcending, you can tell right now, to turquoise, because that turquoise level, a lot of yellow might experience pockets of it. I've actually also experienced pockets of this in deep meditations and psychedelics, this level of a oneness. And I mean, when I say oneness, I am talking about you've dropped that ego, you've dropped that sense of self. There's no distinction between you and the universe at all. And it's a concept that the human mind cannot even fathom until it's experienced it. And even then, the matrix can easily come in and almost as if you forgot it, as if it felt like a dream. Because it's not something that the mind can live in every single day, unless perhaps you're a turquoise being. I think Ram Dass was probably turquoise, maybe. Or he could have been like super... No, I'm pretty sure he was turquoise. And Byron Katie probably, and Eckhart Tolle, turquoise. So you see the world as just simply alive, very, instead of egocentric or Gaia-centric, it's very cosmic-centric, so the universe, even as you're eating food, like this is just beingness. Again, something that's so hard to even describe if you haven't consciously experienced it a lot, like myself. I've only had pockets of it barely. So, yeah. The next level is coral or indigo, which realizes just pure oneness on an even other level. Their individual self delivers this oneness, delivered these very deep sixth density messages. So it's almost a human that is sixth density consciousness, like Jesus, like Buddha. There's been very few walk in this earth who have done this, but they exist. Wisdom is still carried on thousands of years later. So again, moving through these, beige. You're just bringing awareness to this world. But basically, you just survive through instinct. And then the next stage is purple. Super tribal, values ritual, community. You are part of this group, and this is what matters. Then the next is red. Very egocentric, aggressive, and cares to dominate. The next level is blue. You are very much ethnocentric, or I guess nation-centric, focusing on the black and white of what your community believes. Loves tradition, socially conservative, valuing the boundaries of rules and order. And then orange, steps outside of that, becomes more individualistic and understands these other perspectives, values rationality and science deeply, but also very much in the material world. And then from there, there's green, which is very much valuing the heart, equality, pluralism, environmentalism, social justice warriors, very much Gaia-centric, world-centric. That is the focus, that is the love, that is the heart. And we've only really experienced this as the world for 50 years, as a world, as a collective for 50 years. The next level is yellow, but also could be teal, they say, but it's yellow. So, and this sees the natural hierarchy of systems, holds many different perspectives, very flexible, but also has integrated orange and green very well, very expanded, and on just the leading edge of consciousness, often is a guide for people, sees truth, but also sees what might not be true, but just true for that person because of their perspective. So that's why a lot of us are probably yellow. Though they did say back in that day that people think that who are orange think that they're probably yellow. However, when you really look at today, we've accelerated so much that argument can easily be argued. People are integrating the orange and green and living on the leading edge of consciousness indeed, while holding and observing multiple perspectives. And then the next level, turquoise. Again, from the collective, you see the world as a whole, you've got a very cosmic, universal perspective. And then the final one, coral, complete oneness. Basically, the Buddha, the Jesus, exhibits wisdom, downloading it from the universe, not just a channel. A lot of channels live in yellow or green or orange even, but this is someone who basically is walking universe wisdom, which I don't know anyone on earth that has that right now. Maybe Ram Dass did, but Jesus, Buddha, and Muhammad indeed did. So that is the base, the fundamentals, just scratching the surface of spiral dynamics. It's so much more layered than that. There's so many nuances to it, so many more ideas that we could talk about forever. But that's just so you can get a nice summary of understanding other consciousness, where your consciousness lies and where your friends and family might be and how to interact with them, or begin to also work on ways you can begin to elevate yours if you want to widen your perspectives of this reality, or perhaps you don't, you're happy where you're at. Perhaps this resonated, perhaps not. It probably resonated if you're like in the green, yellow, but if you're very orange, it probably didn't, because guess what? Even though there's a lot of science evidence with it, it's not one of those things that you can fully 100% prove, especially since I added my personal touch of spirituality and Law of One, which was channeled information. So if you want to know more about Law of One, I left a link for that episode in the show notes. This was pretty deep and serious, but next week I want to do something fun, which is just a simple Q&A, never have I ever, get personal. And then if you guys want to continue talking about spiral dynamics and dive in deeper, I'm happy to continue to do that, because this is something that I deeply love and extremely interested in. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode and have a magical, magical day. Yomis, that is a wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. I hope that something spoke deeply to you, expanded you in some way. Please let me know if so. You can catch me on Instagram at Raquel Mantra. I spell Raquel a different way than most, so you can see the spelling in the show notes. Or hang out with the Yomis, the like-minded, very conscious and expansive and helpful souls on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. Especially a place to turn to when it comes to, well, whatever you're going through. And there are several tools on the euromagic.life membership site. The Pyrite is monthly and the Gold membership is just a one-time payment. But don't forget that there's an upcoming at-home retreat experience called Home. You can visit that at euromagic.life/home. And that will be with Brie Melanson and I, my fellow alien channeling Palladian boss babe. All right, well, thank you so much, so much, and have a magical rest of your day.